We begin the current daf in Masechta Ksubos daf Lamed Gimel. We begin on the bottom of daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, on the bottom line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we had posed a contradiction between our Mishnah in the beginning of this parak of Elanirus and the Mishnah Masechta Makas. They both spoke about the same case. Haba ala chaysa, if someone goes and cohabits with his sister or one of the other chiva krisis. So our Mishnah says he gets the knas of the 50 kesef when he's ma'anis, he forcibly violates his sister or one of these other forbidden women. Yet the Mishnah Maseches Makis says that he gets lashes. So which one is it? Is it payment or is it lashes? As our Gemara had asked, it says Kedir Shasai, you could only get punishment for one of them, not for both. So another Gemara brought two different resolutions. Ula said that actually whenever you pay, whenever you have payment and lashes, you pay and you don't get lashes. So that makes sense for our Mishnah. So what was the case in Mishnah Maseches Makis that said that you get lashes? Must be talking about a case when there's no payment. For example, when she's a begeris, the whole parsha of knas, of a man that violates a woman, is only when she's a naira. When she's older than that, so that's what was talking about when he was Ma'anis' sister. But if it was talking about during naira, then she would get the payment and not the case of the lashes. Rabbi Yechiel said the other way around. He says actually when you have a choice of malchus and payment, it's actually that you get malchus and not the payment. So that makes sense in the Mishnah Maseches Makis. That's why it says you get lashes. Our Mishnah that says that you get the payment of the knas and not of lashes is talking about Kishul HaHisru, when there was no warning. You can't get lashes, you can't get any punishment to your body unless you were forewarned. It's somewhat that you weren't forewarned. But of course you have to pay the damages that was caused to the sister or to one of these other women. So therefore you have to pay the payment, but the penalty of lashes doesn't apply. So these are two different interpretations. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yechanan, my time alemek Ula. What's the reason why Rabbi Yechanan doesn't learn like Ula, who Ula brought seemingly a strong proof for his interpretation? He brought a Gezeirah Shava to say that when you have a punishment that you get Mammon and not Malkus. Whenever you have a Chiv Mammon and Malkus, it says Tachas in one place and then it says Tachas in another place. Just like Tachas by Chiv B'Chaveri tells us that you pay money and you don't get lashes, so too when it says tachas, for example, by the case of ma'anis, that you should get lashes, you should get mammon and not lashes. Now, Tosfos says you can't say, as many times the Gemara does say, that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like Ula is because he didn't hear, doesn't have a tradition in that gezeirah shava of tachas, because we learn this gezeirah shava in many places, for example, Masechtas Bechayrus and other places, so therefore the Gemara could not have proposed and say Rabbi Yochanan didn't hear of it, so if there is such a gezeirah shava, so why does he argue on Ula? So the Gemara says, Im Kain, because if that would be the case, that you would exempt someone that's bo on his achaisa, on his sister, when she's a Nara at least, from Malkus, well then Bitalta, then you will be nullifying the Pasuk of Yikra that says, Ervas achais chalei segalei, that the nakedness of your sister, you should not reveal. In other words, the Isser of cohabiting with one's sister, there's a negative prohibition. Now, the punishment of a negative prohibition is lashes. Now, if you're telling me that in such a case, you're going to get the payment and not the lashes, the way Ula interprets, based on his interpretation of the Gezeirah Shava Tachas Tachas, well, then what are you going to do with the Pasuk? Now, Tosfos explains, he says, what do you mean? There's many times that we find that a negative prohibition doesn't have lashes. For example, if it's a lav shema maisa, if there's no action to it, or it's a lav nitik la'ese, which can be rectified by doing a positive commandment, for example, a shavas aveda, then you're also nullifying the lav because you don't get lashes. So that says that's not a good question, because essentially they're not a negative prohibition that gets malchus. But here where it is appropriate to get malchus, so therefore, and this Tosfos explains what the Gemara's approach for Rabbi Yechanan is therefore we should not expound the Gezeirah Shava, which is what Ula does, in a way to exclude Malkus from such an erva, let's say, of a chesed, because you could interpret the Gezeirah Shava in another way, and that's essentially what Rabbi Yechanan does not like, hold like Ula. Although Ula has a Gezeirah Shava, and you can't refute a Gezeirah Shava if you hold of that tradition, which Rabbi Yechanan does hold of it. So just like over there, it's Mammon and not Malkus here too also, but and that he would want to, the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yechon would prefer a different interpretation, because by doing that type of interpretation, so what are you going to do with the Malkus that you're supposed to get? Fa'er v'socheis chaloi segale, and you're not getting it, because you're saying you do Mammon and not Malkus. Now, the Gemara, however, continues on top of the Lama Gimla, but often asks, how is that an answer? But chiv b'chaver nami, in the case of, let's say, where Ula learns from the Gezeirah Shava, the original Tachas, when someone creates a wound in his friend, where there, as the Gemara clearly explained in the previous daf, where there's going, you're going to pay for the money and not get the malchus, Well, then the question there would apply also. And kein betalta lo Yosef pen Yosef, then you're also nullifying the negative prohibition, which that pasuk is a source where, although it's talking about in the context of Bez and not being allowed to give more than 39 lashes, but it means to say that no one, even Bezdin that could give lashes, can't give more than what they're supposed to, which is a source where someone's not allowed to hit his friend. So there's also negative prohibition that requires lashes. Yet we said clearly in the previous daf that everyone agrees, by chaver b'chaver you get mama not malchus. But according to the way the Gemara is answering for Rabbi Yechon and why he didn't say like ula, is because, oh, then what are you going to do with that pasuk? Well, what are you going to do with the pasuk over here that also should tell you that you get lashes and you're not getting it because you're getting mama and not lashes? Similarly, the other case that we had a source for that in the pasuk, Edom Zayman Nami. Regarding the parish of Edom Zayman, Im Kain, if it is like we explained the previous daf, where we have clearly sourced that Edom Zayman, although they can get either one Mamana Malkis, we give Mamana Malkis, but based on what Rabbi Yochanan just answered, why he doesn't say like Ula, Betalta, then you're also nullifying a negative prohibition of Ahoyim bin HaKoyser Rasha, where the Gemara Masechtas Malkis learns, is talking about in the context of Edom Zayman, that what happens is that the Edom Zayman, for saying this false testimony, should get lashes. So what are you going to do over there? Ella, rather, and the Gemara concludes the question. What you have to say is that since the pasuk is being marbe, as we explained in the previous stuff, that there's going to be tashlumin, so mean that the Edom Zayman will have monetary payment and not lashes. So what do you have to say? Edom Zayman, actually, what you could do is that you could resolve that although that there is a punishment of malchus by Edom Zayman, it's not talking about every single case. Rather, it'd be talking about ben gerusha ben chalutza, meaning when two witnesses say testimony regarding a certain person that's a kohen, it's not a kohen kasher. He's a ben gerusha, where there that you can't say kasher zamim lasses la'achav kenya asalah. You can't say that the edom zayman should now become a ben gerusha in his place, because what does that mean? Let's say it's not even a kohen. What relevance does it have? So the Gemara explains over the Masechtas Makkos that that's the case of what the pasuk of Ahoyah ben Akreis Rosh would be telling you, that since you can't do kasher zamim over there, then not becoming ben gerusha and what they wanted to do and ruin it for this kohen, rather that's the case where they're going to get lashes. So therefore, that's where you're not nullifying the pasuk in its entirety. The pasuk is not talking about in every case. It's for certain cases that you get lashes. But when there's a monetary element, then it's a monetary and not the lashes. So to chayv b'chaver nami ikle kiyuma. You could also resolve the parasha of when someone inflicts a wound in his friend, that although there's a pasuk that says lo yosef pen yosef, you could say that that's not always talking about it. When there's money and there's malchus, by when someone hurts someone else, it's going to be money, not malchus. Oh, but then betalta, you're going to be nullifying it. Not nullifying it, because you could say it's tumah kagun sheko hakosh shema shava pruta. It's talking about it in a case, when will you get lashes for lo yosef? If you hurt someone else with a monetary value less than the lowest denomination of a coin, where that would be in all the five areas that someone is liable when he's chayv b'chaver. For example, if let's say there was no deficiency in the person's value and of his work of a shavapruta, and also the amount of the medication or healing that he needs doesn't come to a shavapruta, and there wasn't any pain either when the person got hurt, and neither was there any embarrassment because the person was a shaita deranged person. So that's when we'd be talking about, as the Gemara brought actually from Rabbi Yechon in the previous stuff, that's when you would get lashes in the case of when you hurt someone else. But when there's money, then you wouldn't get lashes. But it's not nullifying the pasuk, because there are variables, there are cases of when you could interpret the pasuk. So the Gemara says, this refutes what the Gemara had answered Rabbi Yechon on Tzachay Sinami Ikele Kiyuma. So you could also resolve the pasuk of one's sister to say when you get malchus is machaisa by geres, is when the sister is already over 12 and a half. But when she's a nara, we could say that then she should pay and not get malchus. And the reason is, as Ulad brought on the previous daf, because there's a gezer shavav, tachas of a tashlumen. So then the Gemara's question is back again. Why does Rabbi Yochanan argue on ulam? And he says that you're loike ve'ena mishalom. Why? Ula seemingly has a clear gezer shavav, tachas, learning from a chayv b'chaver, that it's mishalom ben aloika. So too, by Ma'anis, where it says tachas, it's also mishalom ben aloika. And although he asked, oh, but then what are you going to do with Erev Sachay Salay Sagali? That's talking about when she's not a Naira, when there's no Tashlumen. But when there is a Tashlumen, that's not undoing the whole pasuk. As we illustrated clearly by Chavi B'Chaveri and Edom Zayman, where Rabbi Yechon himself would have to agree that although there are cases when you have both, you're going to pay money, What do you do with the pasuk? The pasuk of Malkus, for both of them, must be talking about when there is no money. Here also, it would be talking about when there is no money, when she is a begeres. But when she's a nara, we should say, that's Mishal Meina Laika, but Rabbi Yechon doesn't say that. So Rav the Gemara says, Amalach Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon would tell you that the reason why he doesn't learn like Ula is because that Gzeir Shav is not Mufna. In other words, the whole reason why we learn from Chiv B'Chaver, although the Gemara had said that it shouldn't be a comparison, is because it's Mufna, it's superfluous. When it's superfluous and there's Gzeir Shav, you can't ask any questions, you learn one from the other. And Rabbi Yechon says that Hai Tacha Sasha'ina, this other half of the Gzeir Shava, where it says by Ma'anis that you have to pay her the 50 coins in place of where, because he had afflicted her. Now, that's necessary. It's not an extra word, tachas. It's necessary to learn a certain halacha, and therefore you can't learn the Gzeir Shava. Because Miboy Likud Abaya. It was necessary for the halacha that Abaya taught, which is brought at the end of the parak, where the Gemara there asks, that maybe, say, when a man is Ma'anis, violates forcibly a woman to have Bia, that when the Torah tells you have to pay 50 silver coins, that includes every amount of monetary damage would be included in those 50 coins. And the Amar Baya, now Baya says, by way of answering, he says, no, you can't say that because Amar Kar, the Pasuk says that the 50 coins are tachas arsha'ina, are in place of this that he afflicted her. Now, hi, what that means to say is that the chamishim kesef is tachas arsha'ina. That's in place of what he had afflicted her. That's where there's a new that you never have in regular monetary law, that someone takes away someone's besulim, he has to pay a knas of the affliction. That's what that correlates to that. However, machlal dekabayishas begam. The inference is that, however, that embarrassment and deficiency, which is by all other types of damages, that wasn't included in the 50 coins. It's only tachas asha'ina, in place of the inui, that of the rape, that is what the 50 silver coins will be. But for the other types of damages, that's not included in this, and therefore tachas was necessary for that, and that's why it doesn't like Ula. Now, Ula, he says that no, tachas over there is extra. So where does he know this halacha of that the 50 coins is only for the inui and not for the baishas and begam and all the other halachas? That's not claiming the Rav. He learns out from where Rav learns it out. The Rav says, Amakra, the pasuk says, v'nasan ha'ish ha'sheichiv ima, that the man will give, who laid with her, lavi anara, to the father of the nara, chamishim kesef, 50 silver coins. Now, that's an extra pasuk for a drasha, because essentially the pasuk could have said, v'nosan lavi hanara chamishim kesef, he should give to the father of the nara 50 kesef, because we know the pasuk's told about that he's the one that laid with her. So on that, Rava says, hanar shechiv chamishim. No, the reason why he says, hashechiv imo, is to say that the pleasure of the laying with her, that's what the 50 coins are to pay for. However, the inference is, but there's embarrassment, there's deficiency, where that's not because of the pleasure of the laying that he's liable for, because that's by all other types of inflicting a wound to somebody else. That was not included in his 50 silver coins. That's where Rava knows it from, and that's where Ula would learn it from, and therefore he has tachas extra to learn out tachas tachas, but Rabbi Yechon does not learn like Ula, because he doesn't have it extra, because he learns like Abaya. Now, the Gemara continues with the discussion of the previous daf, where the Gemara had asked a question on Rabbi Yechanan from Edom Zayman, where the question was that how could Rabbi Yechanan say when you have a choice, when you have both punishments that a person should get of lashes and of money, that Rabbi Yechanan says you get lashes, not money, because it says K'dei Rishasa, and then afterwards says Arbom Yakenu, where what's the one punishment? That's the lashes. The question was, the Gemara had asked from two places, Edom Zayman and Chayv B'Chaver, where we see clearly that you have both and you get the monetary payment and not the lashes. So that the Gemara said that we can answer from Rabbi Loi, where Rabbi Loi learned two different, and the Gemara compared that to Chayv B'Chaver, where he was saying in Edom Zayman, the Gemara compared it to Chayv B'Chaver, where we see Beferish Rubs of Torah, the Torah explicitly says a redundancy, where it says a term of either Yad B'Yad or Kenyan Nosin Boig, where what's something that's given from hand to hand or that's given is a reference to Mammon that's given. That's the penalty that explicitly is included by Edom Zayman Chayv B'Chaver, but it's not a question of Yechon because generally you get Malkus and not money. But there, Beferish Rubs of Torah explicitly tells you that it's money and not lashes. Now that Gemara brings two different interpretations where we don't need to come on to Rabbi Loi's drasha, a different source why by Edom Zayman Chayv B'Chaver is not difficult to Rabbi Yechanan, where it's obvious that it's going to be over there Mammon Meshalem and B'Loi Laki. Rabbi Lazar, he says, Edim Zaymin Mimoin Mishalmi Umilkal Alake, that by Edim Zaymin, again, where the witnesses said testimony and two other witnesses then say to those witnesses, how could you have said that? You're obviously lying. You were with us at that time. Where then the Torah tells us Kasher Zama, what they wanted to do to someone else, then happens to them. So Rabbi Elazar says clearly, there they're going to have to pay the penalty of money and not get lashes. And moreover, Rabbi Elazar is saying, you don't need a pasuk. And the reason is because there's logic, obviously, that you cannot have malchus by Edim Zaymin. And therefore, it's not a difficult to Rabbi Yochanan. The reason is because Mishum Delav B'nei Asroninu, the Edim Zaymin cannot be warned, which is the only way you get lashes, if you get Hasra warning beforehand, they cannot get warned before they say the testimony, as the Gemara will explain from Rav. Now, the truth is that, therefore, now, if you're going to go ahead and punish the Edim Zaymin, the only punishment left that you have is that of money, because the punishment in a person's body could only be with Asra, but a monetary punishment could be even without Asra. Now, one thing Rashi does point out is that although we know by Edim Zaymin, when they want to say regarding a certain kind that he's a Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutza, thus demoting him from certain elements of Kahuna, that then the punishment actually is that they do get Malchus without being warned, that Rashi says Exeus HaKasav, where we find explicitly in the Torah it says Malchus regarding Edim Zaymin, it says V'hoyim Ben HaKais. The Gemara there explains the pasuk that's talking about by something where you cannot punish him based on, meaning the witnesses, on Akasha Zaman, because to make them Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza doesn't make a difference for them if, let's say, they're not Kahanim. But as Rashi explains, but if it's somewhere we could do Hazama, then there's no Malchus that would apply to Edim Zaymin, and therefore the question doesn't start that, of course, Edim Zaymin are going to get the Tashlim and not the Malchus, because you can't have Malchus by Edim Zaymin. And the reason why you can't have Malchus is because they're not B'nai Asro. You can't warn them. And that's the only way they can get Malchus. As the Gemara explains, Amar Rava says, Teda, you should know that it's impossible to warn the Edim Zaymin before they say testimony to then allow, once they get Huzam, meaning when others contradict them and say, you couldn't have been there, you were with us, that to say that, oh, there's Mamon and Malchus, and then saying, oh, that you see Nalik Rabbi Yechon, that there's Mamon and that there's Malchus, not Malchus, because there's no Malchus. How do we know this? Because Nishtabuhu Emas, when exactly should we warn the Edim Zaymin beforehand to say, watch out, if you're lying, you're violating Leisan Nebriyecha Eid Shaka, you're going to get lashes, when should we warn them? If Nishtabuhu Meyakara, if we should warn them beforehand, meaning like, let's say, a day before, an hour before they say testimony, well then, Amri Yishtalin, they'll just say that we forgot about the warning. And then the warning doesn't have any halachic relevance. It has to be that we know that they were aware of their actions and then they get the punishment. And if Nisubu B'Shas Maisa, if we should warn them as they're coming to testify, I'd say, well, wait a second. You know, you might be kosher witnesses. But if not, you might be violating Leisana and then you're going to get lashes. Well, then Parshav Lemisadi. Then they're just going to remove themselves and not say testimony, even if they're saying the truth. And the reason is because they're going to say, what do you mean? We're suspecting your eyes that you're warning us about saying false testimony? Like the term is malon or latzar. What do we need this pain for? We have to get into trouble. Now forget it. We're not interested in saying. So that's not an option to warn them during the time when they're coming to say a testimony. And if nisbu l'b'saif, and if we should warn them at the end, meaning after they said the testimony, to say, look, hold on, you just said testimony. Just know that if we find that you lied, you violated leisana, you're getting lashes. But that is my dehavahava. What was. In other words, as Rashi explains, in the halacha of Kivin Shehigid, once you say your testimony, you can't anyway undo what you said. You can't say testimony again. So if you can't undo, so what does it help to warn as if, oh, don't maintain your position if you were lying, say the truth. That doesn't help once you said. So saying early, they could say we forgot. During the time of the testimony, they're not going to say testimony then. And afterwards, it's already too late. So when exactly could we give Hasra? Obviously, we cannot give Hasra, so the whole halach of Malchus by Edim Zaymin doesn't apply, and therefore there's no question of Yechon in the first place, because you don't have Malchus ever by Edim Zaymin. Now, Maskev L'Abaya, Abaya asked, that's not true. V'nisibahu b'tech k'dei dibur. We could warn the Edim after they said testimony within what's called tech k'dei dibur. Now, tech k'dei dibur means to say the amount of time that it takes for somebody to say hello, meaning Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri, meaning saying hello to somebody. Now, in that amount of time that you just finished saying something, if you get warned at that time, you could then retract. It's considered within that original Haggadah's Eidus. And therefore, Abai asked, That's not true. If you warn them right then, they're not going to stop saying what they said because they already said it, but they could still retract. And therefore, that would be a viable option of giving hasra for Eidim Zayman. If they don't retract, they're violating the halach of Leisan, and therefore they could get lashes. And therefore, there's not an answer in saying that it doesn't even have the ability of having malkas by Eidim Zayman. Another question the Gemara asks is, Maskib la Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ika. He says, not true. V'nissi b'hu mekar. Warn them earlier. Well, let's say an hour before. Now, the question was that you said they're going to say we forgot. V'nirmez b'hu remuzi. But then we can gesture to them. We can allude to them. At the time when they come to say their testimony, we could show regarding the warning, we're just reminding you, but we're not saying any words, and it'll be in a soft, easy manner type of way where they won't be so upset, like, oh, you suspect us, because this was way before, not that they're coming to do it. But if you hint to them, they'll remember, and therefore, that would be a viable option of how to warn them, and they won't pull back. And therefore, you could have malkas by Eidim Zayman, and therefore, that doesn't really answer the question. And these are the two questions of Rava's interpretation of Rebbe Lazar, where it's not true. It's seemingly that you could have Asra and hence Malkus by Eidim Zayman. However, the Gemara tells us, Hadam Abaya, ultimately Abaya retract from this question that he had been asking on Rava, thus refuting Rebbe Lazar's Taina. Because he says, Lav Milsihi de Amri. He says, it's not possible this that he had been attempting to say, that by Eidim Zayman there should be a requirement of Asra. Because Abai had asked, he says that there is a viable option of having Asra, which is taking it deeper. With the time frame of where it takes someone to ask to say Shalom Alech Rabbi, he says, then you could do Asra. Now, he says it's not possible. Thus, it's not possible that to say that they're going to get Malkus because of Loisana. And the reason is because because if you would entertain that Eidim Zayman require Hasra, as he was asking, that what do you mean? Who said it's not possible to have the way Rav interpreted? What do you mean? There's no time to give them Hasra? Of course there's time. Do a Tekad Eidibra. And if you could warn, then you should warn, and then therefore there is an option of Malkus. So then you're back to that question under Biechanon that you could have both. And that Abai says no. That yes, of course, I found a technical way of having a straw, but it's not possible to say that there is a requirement to have a straw, thus enabling a hasra of loisana b'recha yitzchaker to get malkus on the what the false testimony is. And the reason is because ki loy masrinan buhu, because what happens is that when they don't get warned, loy katlin lahu, what's going to come out is if you're requiring hasra for the Eidim Zayman, if they don't get a warning then they won't get killed. In other words, if they didn't get a warning after they said, oh, this guy, oh, we warned him and we saw that he was Mechal Shabbos. So he deserves the death penalty. Now, truth is, they made it all up. Now, we find out from two other witnesses is that obviously they're lying because they weren't even there at that time. They were with them. Now, based on what Abai is saying, based on what I had attempted to say previously to refute Rebbe Lazar and to say that you could have Asra, hence, therefore, you should be able to have Malkus, then, meaning if you could have Asra, then if we want to do a punishment to this guy's body, which is to kill him or whatever he had plotted to do to someone else, then you should require Asra. Now, if that would be the case, then, but how can you say that? Because Mika Midi, is it really possible to say, is there such a thing, the inhu bayu kotobul Asra, they attempted to kill a certain person, which was the defendant, without any warnings, because the whole thing was made up in the first place, that guy was never warned, and what they're saying, testimony is not true. Now, for inu bayu asra, but for they themselves to get killed, they need asra. On that, Abai says, but we need, as the pasuk says, vasisim loy, that you should do to him, meaning to the Eidim Zayman, kasha zamam lasis la'achiv, like he had attempted to do to his brother, veleka, and you're not going to have this in this case, because they plotted to kill him, with a testimony that never happened, and with a warning that was never there. They had never warned him, with what now they're saying testimony. Now, therefore, Abai says, you have to say like Rebbe Lazar. So though, yes, I refuted Rava and that I was able to find a technical way of having Asra, but obviously that it's not shaykh to have Malkus because you don't need to have Asra. And moreover, we don't want to have Asra because what they attempted to do is what we do to them. Now they attempted to kill without Asra and therefore we kill them without Asra. So therefore, Rebbe Lazar's statement does hold true, and that is the reason why that there's no question of Eidim Zayim in the first place. That why this Tashlumin and not Malkus, because there is no Malkus, because there is no Hasra, and the reason why there's no Hasra is because we need Vasisim Loi Kashazam and Mlasis Lachav. Now, that mask of the Rav Sama Berider of Yirmer, he asks on Abaya's interpretation. And he says, Il Me'at, if that's the case, that this, that they don't need Hasra, hence there's no Malkus, is because we need Kasha Zamam. So, if so, the question is, there's a case of lashes of the Zayme Eidus when they say testimony of Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. When they get lashes, why do they get lashes? Not because they wanted to give that person lashes. It was because they wanted to say that this Kayin is not a valid Kayin. He's a son of a Gerusha, meaning his mother was a divorcee who married a Kayin, which is forbidden, thus making him a Chalal or Ben Chalutza. The fact that the Edom Zayman there get Malkus, their punishment, is not learnt out from Kasha Zamim, because actually they didn't attempt to give that person lashes, rather to make him into a Chalal. And instead, we learn it out from Bahoyim Ben Akaisa Rasha, that's a pasuk where he gets Malkus. Well, if that's the case, based on what Abai just said, Libai Hasra, he should require warning. In other words, if you say like Rava said, you can't have warning. Too early, too late, or they're going to stop. Now, Abai says, not true. Abai says, warn them right after they say, Techkedei Dibur. Now, but Abai says, the reason why you don't warn is because we don't want to warn them, because we need Kasha Zama. But in that, the Gemara asks, that only holds true and when the lashes they're getting is because of Kasha Zamam. But what they're getting, it lashes not because of Kasha Zamam, which is a unique case. When they say Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, then their punishment is learned from a different pasuk v'ayim min ha'kesa rasha. So then they should require Hasra, because it is feasible to have Hasra. And the punishment in one's body requires Hasra. That the Gemara answer is not difficult, because Amakra, the pasuk says in Yikra, Mishpat Echad Yilacham. There should be one judgment for you. In other words, Mishpat Hashav L'kulcham, the justice has to be unilateral. And now, since the majority of Zayman are not B'nai Hasra, as we learned out, because generally, only for unique case of Ben Gerusha, every other case, what he tried doing, he gets back, which is without Hasra, he gets without Hasra. See here also, even in the case of Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, to keep it uniform of Mishpat Echad Yilacham, it will also be even without Hasra, and therefore it's not difficult on Abai's interpretation of Rebbe Lazar why there's no Malkus in the case of Edom Zayman. Now, similar to what Rebbe Lazar just did regarding Edom Zayman, that you don't have to come on to Rebbe Loi of the previous staff to say why by Edom Zayman there's Tashlumen and not Malkus, although Rebbe Yochanan says generally you get Malkus and not Tashlumen. So now Rav Shisha Bereja of Idi Amar, he says the same thing, that you don't need to come on to, like we said, of Rebbe Loi of Beferish Rebbe Satira, that same thing applies for when one inflicts a wound in his friend. It's also you could learn it from a different source, that you pay the money and you don't get the lashes. So a pasuk in Shemais. Pasuk says that when two people are going to be quarreling, the nagfa ishahara, and then a pregnant woman was hit, the yatsu yaladeha, and then the fetus, her child, comes out. In other words, it creates a miscarriage. Now, V'amar Rav Lazar said, interpreting of that parsha, B'matzus shebemisa, when there's a fight to the death, meaning that they were fighting, intending to kill each other, that's what Akasim Adaba, that's what the Pasuk is told me over there. Now, the proof of this is, because Dechsevet says over there in the Pasuk, V'im asan yi, if there is going to be a fatality, meaning the woman will die, she got in the way of this collateral damage of this fight. So the Pasuk says, V'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, that then you have to give a life for a life. Now, what that means to say is that although this guy who wanted to kill only intended to kill this other person, and instead he by mistake killed this woman, Avedotar is teaching you that when you intend to kill one person and you kill another person, it doesn't make a difference. You're chayiv misa as when you kill a person. Now, the question is, heichadami, what would the case be talking about? If he wasn't warned that if you kill this person you're fighting with, you're going to get killed, well then namai mikta, why would he get killed? Even if, for sure, if he kills the woman, even if he would kill that person, he wouldn't get killed because he didn't have a straw. Elipshita da astrobe, so obviously the pasuk is talking about that he was warned when he was fighting with that person, you kill him, you're going to get the death penalty. Now, on that the chiddush of the pasuk is that fine that he didn't kill him, but he killed the woman. So if you niskav laharagazah and you killed this one instead, you still get the death penalty. So that's what the pasuk would be saying with nefesh tachas nefesh. Now, if so, you could say umusul davacham. If someone is obviously we're saying he had asra, he was warned. If you're warned regarding a severe punishment of getting the death penalty, well then most definitely have a musul davar kal. Inclusive of that is that you definitely forewarned regarding a more lenient type of a punishment, meaning that if, let's say, he would inflict a wound, whether that person that he was fighting with or that pregnant woman, and there is no death, that but he'll get lashes, because when you hit somebody else, you're violating the violation of Lo Yosef. So and so therefore there is a hasra, essentially. When he's being warned, as we explained in the context of the pasuk, obviously it's a warning for death. If he kills the person, he's going to get killed. That obviously included in that is also for a more lenient warning, which is that, but if the person doesn't die, that you'll get lashes. And still, Vam Rachman Torah tells us over there, below Yia Asun, that if there is no fatality, if there that there's not going to be a liability for him for death, Anish Yia Anish, then he'll get the punishment of monetary penalty, of the amount of the loss of the fetus. Now, that's in spite of the fact that, as we just explained, there obviously is a hasra for Malkus, because that's included in the hasra for Davachamer of Misa, and still we see that you're Mishalim Ve'inu Laika, that you pay and you don't get lashed, because the Torah is saying, V'lo Ye'asin, if there's no fatality, if the guy doesn't die because of what he caused death, then what happens then? Not lashes, even though there was a warning for lashes, which is including the warning for death, and yet it because it says Anish Ye'anish, which, as the Pasuk there is clearly talking about, that you pay for the value of the fetus. So you see, this is the source of where, regarding the case of Chiv B'Chaver too, that there's going to be Misa and not Malkus. Now, that Maskel of Rav Ashi asked, Mimai de Musla Davacham, have a Musla Davakal? How do you know? One of the assumptions that you're making to learn out, which again is to answer the question of the previous stuff in Rabbi Yechanon, how does he say when you have both Malkus, Tashlumin, you get Malkus and not lashes and not monetary payment, but you see by Chiv B'Chaver you have both and you get only monetary payment? So that the Gemara wanted to say over here that no, the Rav Shisha said is because you see clearly from the pasuk that there's a warning for lashes, meaning you should get lashes, and it's only onish onish. That Rav Ashi asked, how do you see that the pasuk is talking about that there was both an option for lashes and for monetary payment? Where do you see that there was a warning for lashes to say that the person could get lashes? Who said that a warning for a more severe thing will include even a warning for a more lesser thing? Dimalahava. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe a warning for death, which obviously the pasuk is talking about because the person would get killed, does not include a lesser thing. Now, okay, and even if imtim tzalei mahavan, even you say that, okay, fine, we could understand that idea that a more severe thing will include a warning for a less severe thing. But memai demisa chamuro, who said that death is more severe to say that warning, which obviously the pasuk is talking about, will include a less severe punishment of lashes, and yet still we see that it's mishal mein alaika? And that the Gemara continues as we continue on Amud Beis, Dilma Malkus Chamer, maybe actually lashes is more severe. And therefore, you wouldn't see anything about that there's a possibility for lashes. It's only by death, which was lowered down. And the reason why we would say that lashes is more severe is because the Amar Rav, as Rav says, Il Mali Negdua L'Chananya Mishol Ba'Azariah, had it been that they had given lashes to Chananya Mishol Ba'Azariah, who are famously known that they were Moise Nefesh, for the Yiddishkeit, and they were willing to give up their life, that actually had they been afflicted with Yisurin, Pol Chulot Salma, they would have bowed down to the idol. In other words, it's more severe, it's easier to give up one's life than to endure so much physical affliction like lashes. So therefore, maybe lashes is more severe. So where do you see that the Pasuk is told about, even if you say, Musul Devar Chamer is Musul Devar Kal, but the Kal is maybe death, and therefore, that's what the Pasuk is told about. But where do you see that when there's no fatality and doesn't get death, that obviously it was including a warning for lashes and still you're Mishalim Bein Aleika, who said maybe lashes is more severe, as we see from the statement of Rav. Now, not only Rav Sama Bered Rav Asli Rav Ashi, and Amrilan, some say it was Rav Sama Bered Rav Ashi Rav Ashi, that he says, no, how can you ask him that of Rav? Don't you differentiate between lashes and torment that has a set amount, lakosha and lakitzvah, to torture that doesn't have a set amount? In other words, by Chanani Mishol Ba'Azariah, when the wicked kingdom wants to hurt them, that has no set amount. A person cannot endure so much torture and torment. Yes, then they would have bowed down to the idol. But Malkus of Bezdin, that has a set amount of 40, that obviously lashes would be a less severe punishment than death, and therefore that doesn't refute what Rav Shesha was trying to say. He says, obviously the Pasuk is talking about that there was a asura for death, and Musul Davar Chamer is Musul Davar Kal, And obviously the more kal is lashes, because that's only 39 lashes. What Rav was talking about unlimited torture and torment, yes, that could be worse than death, and one would give up his life for death, but would not be able to give up, and rather one would capitulate to do avodah zarah if it requires so much physical affliction. Now, however, Maskevel Rav Yaakov in Harpakot, he asks on Rav Sheshe's interpretation of, will you see that b'chev l'chaveri, obviously it's that you get, even though there's malchus and tashlumin, that you only get tashlumin, not malchus. He says, Hanichal Rabbanan de Amri. That's only good according to the Rabbanan, who they say in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Perek Elohim and the Srafin, the Afayin Tesem and Aleph, where they say, as obviously Rav Sheshe was interpreting, where if someone intended to kill one person, and instead he killed another person, that you're chayiv. And that when it says in the Pasuk, when the Satan Nefesh, it means Nefesh Mamash, it means really the person's soul. Meaning that although you intended to kill that guy you were fighting with, but the pregnant woman got in the way and she was killed, that then you have to give a soul for a soul, that then the person who killed her, he gets killed. Then it makes sense to make the inference that Rav Sheshe was making and saying that you see from the Pasuk that obviously he's talking about that the guy was warned, because if he wasn't warned, he wouldn't get death even if he killed that other guy, for sure, the pregnant woman. And then you could learn that, oh, okay, so obviously that Musa Devar Chomer is Musa Devar Kal, where obviously that there is a hasrof even Malkus, and yet still the Pasuk says, Anish, Anish, you get a punishment for the money, not for the lashes, that when there's no death, so obviously you see, Memoin Mishal Mulka Loloki. So yes, Rav Sheshe makes sense according to the interpretation of the Rabbanim of that Pasuk. But El Rabbi Da'ama, but Rabbi that says over there, Masechta Sanhedrin, that if someone intended to kill one person, and by mistake killed another person, that then that person does not get killed, rather he pays mammon, he pays money. Now what money would that be? That would mean the woman that was killed, so there's a monetary value to her. Now, although obviously a person doesn't want money for that, but the person's not getting killed because it's only someone that you intended to kill. So he gives the value of the woman to her inheritors. Now if so, you could explain the pasuk, and in other words, the whole hecherch, the interpretation that Rav Sheshe had given based on the obviousness that there was a hasrah for death, hence then l'davar kalav, you don't have over here. Because you could say the pasuk is talking about that when the person was not warned. And therefore, when the Torah says keep with that, when there's no asin, when there's no fatality, that then yes, anish pays the monetary value of the vlad of the fetus. Now, when the pasuk says that when there will be a fatality, as we explained, that Rebbe holds, you're going to pay a nefesh, not your own life, but the value of the life, of the value of the woman. That's what tachas nefesh means according to Rebbe. Now, however, we could say, but if the person was warned, that then I would tell you that it would be loika ve'ein mishalem, and therefore my ikala meima. What are you going to say? In other words, the Gemara is asking on Rav Sheshe, according to Rebbe, what's called mehechetesa, from where can you infer that chivel b'chaveroi gets tashlumen even when there was a warning to say that there's an option for malchus? It's not true, because the pasuk, the whole raya of Rav Sheshe was that obviously there's a warning, because how can you kill someone that didn't get warned about killing? And that was saying Rebbe doesn't say you get killed, you pay the value. Monetary punishments you can get even without being warned. And therefore, yes, if he intended to kill someone else without warning and he killed the woman, then there's a nefesh, which means he has to pay the value of the woman. When there is no, when the woman doesn't die, but rather loses her fetus, then you have to go ahead and pay the value of the child. Why don't you get lashes? Not because you pay money and you don't get lashes, because there is no lashes, there's no warning. And you could have tachas nefesh, which is just monetary value, even without being warned. But if you were warned, maybe we would say that actually that you would get malchus and that you wouldn't pay money. And therefore that refutes the proof of Rav Sheshe, according to Rabbi. Se'ela Amar of Yaakov min Harpa Koid Mishmeid Rava. He says the name of Rava, Mahacha, a different source for Chayv B'Chaveri, how we know that it's going to be that you pay the money and you don't get the lashes. Pasuk in Shemais. Pasuk says, Im yakum v'es'alach b'chutz al-mashantet. If somebody that was hurt by his friend, if he gets up and he goes outside, al-mashantet, where the Targum translates al-burya, meaning on his health, meaning he comes back to his original strength, and he's walking around. So then, then the one who hurt him is absolved, because obviously nothing happened to this person that he hurt, he healed. Now the question is, would it entertain your mind to say that this guy is walking, the guy who was injured, he's up and about now, And the guy who hurt him would be killed. In other words, what's the pasuk saying? The pasuk saying, oh, if he's healed and he's walking around, oh, then he's absolved. What, you would have thought not? You would have thought that a guy didn't die, but you'll kill the one who hurt him? El Malami, rather, this teaches us, shechayv shen oisai, that we put the one who, that we put the damager into lockdown. We put him into prison. In other words, as Rashi explains, the purpose of the pasuk is only to teach you that when someone hits someone, and the guy didn't die yet, but he's ill, he's in the hospital. So, meaning then, the one who hurt him gets put into prison until we know that then he'll be yakum b'salach b'chutz, then it's v'nika amaka. In other words, obviously, yes, when he's walking around, we're not killing the guy who hurt him. But the inference is what's necessary to say, but before we know that, then we have to hold on to him. Because we don't know what's happening with him, so we have to keep him, so we put him into prison. Now, but that obviously what that means to say is, why would we hold on to him? Because if he miss katlin and lay, and that is, if the guy who he hurt dies, since you're saying you're keeping him in prison, obviously we're saying that if the one who got hurt dies, then we're going to kill the one who hurt him. Because if you're not killing him, then why would you put him in prison? What are you holding on to him for? Now, ve'iloi miss, and if the guy doesn't die, well, then it's like the pasuk says over there, shift to eat them, rapi, that you have to give him for the amount of work that he lost because he was injured. You have to pay for his medical bills. Now, the question is, hechidamu, and the pasuk says that if the guy that was injured, who we didn't know what's going to happen with him, so we had the guy who injured him in prison for the meantime, just in the holding cell. So if he dies, you kill him. If he doesn't die, the pasuk says he has to pay for all the chamisha dvar. So hechidamu, what's the case talking about? If he wasn't warned before and they just gave him such a zetz and the guy got hurt, samai miktel, why would he die? If that guy dies, you can't kill someone without asra. Elip shita de asterbe, obviously he was warned. Now if so, and here the Gemara again does this logic again like Rav Shesha had said, someone that's warned for a severe thing, meaning for a penalty of death, obviously is musul devar kal. Obviously including in that warning is that we're warning also for a more lenient punishment, that of Malchus, which is of Lo Yosef, where if he would injure that guy and the guy wouldn't die, so he's violating the Isra of not hitting somebody else, obviously included that as a warning that if he doesn't die, he's going to get lashes. And yet still, Vam Rachman the Torah says, where he doesn't die, where then there's two elements over here, there's the monetary of the Chamisha Devarim, and there's lashes of Lo Yosef, that the punishment will be of money, as the Pasuk says, Shifta Yitim Rapi Rapi, that he has to pay for the amount of loss of work and that he has to heal him. And that's the source where you see by Chiva B'Chaveroi that although there's obviously both, because we see from the pasuk that he was warned from the fact that he gets imprisoned. What are you imprisoning? Obviously to see that if he's going to die, that if he dies, you'll kill him. That you could only be killed if there was a warning. So if you warn him for death, obviously including a warning for Malchus. And yet still, even though there's a warning for Malchus, when the guy doesn't die, he pays money. Obviously you see, M'mayin M'shalim, look alo loki. Now that the Gemara has Maskev Ravashi. Ravashi asks, as the Gemara had asked on the previous interpretation, who said that a warning for a more severe thing includes a warning for a less severe thing? Maybe that's for that, and each one needs its own warning. Now, Dimalai Hava, maybe that's not the case. Now, Vimtim Tzulam Hava, and even if you're going to say that, okay, I could agree to that a more severe will include a less severe, but who said that death is more severe, and therefore you're saying that obviously from the pasuk there was a warning for lashes, and still maybe lashes is more severe, and therefore we don't see that there was a warning for lashes to say that you get punishment and not lashes, because the Amar Rav, like Rav says, if it were to be that instead of trying to kill them, they had tried to torture them, they would have bowed down to the idols. So you see that lashes is more severe. On that, Amalei Rav Sama Beri Ravasi Ravashi, Bamilan, some say it was Rav Sama Beri Ravashi Ravashi. Says, wait a second, can you compare the two? Can't you differentiate between torture that has no set amount to that which has set amount? And therefore, there's no question that you're asking. Because definitely, Musa de Vachama is Musa de Vakal. And therefore, it obviously was a warning for lashes, and still you pay the money. Because lashes is obviously not as severe as death. Because although Rav said that it is worse, that's only when there's unlimited. But when it's limited, 39 lashes, death is more severe. And therefore, the interpretation the Gemara brought from Rav Yaakov and Harpokoid in the name of Rav is legitimate. because obviously there was a warning for the Devakal of Malkus, and still it's shift to Yidim, Rabbi Rappe, and not lashes. Now, but Maskev Rav Mori. Rav Mori asks, he says, Mimai, how do you know that the way Rav Yaakov Nabakoid was bringing this source is a true interpretation? In other words, who said that when it says in the Pasuk, V'hika Esra Eyu, that when the man was hitting his friend, that the Bemezid that it was talking about, that he did it deliberately, and hence what you want to infer of from V'nika, that you learned out, what do you mean? The guy's going to be absolved when he's walking around? Obviously. So he said, no, of course he's going to be absolved. But we needed to tell us that, but until we do know, he's going to be in lockdown. So, and on that you said, so what does it mean that when the guy gets healed, he's going to be absolved? Absolved from what? Miktala, from being killed. And on that you inferred, oh, obviously, that but if the guy would have died, he would have been killed. Oh, so you said that obviously he was warned. And therefore, if he was warned, that's L'dav HaChama, must be L'dav HaKal. So he said, obviously, it was a warning for Malkus. And yeah, it still is Mamayin Mashal Malkul Lalaki. That was how you proved your point. But now he says, maybe the Pasuk is totally different. Dilma B'Shoigig, maybe the Pasuk is talking about that the guy who injured the other person was by mistake. And that there was no Hasra, because there was no deliberate listener over here. Now, this that they put him in lockdown is not to kill him, because you wouldn't kill a guy who did it b'shaygig. Rather, v'nake, that this being absolved is not from being killed. Rather, it's migolis. Rather, it's from having to go into exile to the Arim Miklat, to the city of refuge, which is what happens when someone kills b'mezid, so he can get killed. When someone kills by mistake, he doesn't get killed, but he has to leave his house and go to the city of refuge. Maybe this that, yes, you inferred, obviously, from v'nika, that obviously that up until you know that the guy is healthy enough to walk around, we put this guy in prison. But not because that if the guy had died, he then would be killed. But rather we put him in prison because then we'll know that he has to go into galus, into exile. Now, that's why we say that when v'nika hamaka, when the one who hurt is absolved, because the guy does get healed, he's going to be absolved from exile. And then he'll pay money, but maybe when he was warned, maybe when it was deliberate, then I would tell you actually that he would not be that when he's not killed, then because the guy got healed, then maybe I would say loikav ein mashalim. Maybe that you would get lashes and you wouldn't pay. In other words, the whole point of the Gemara's proof that it's mashalim ein loikav was because we said that obviously it's talking about a case of Malkus, that there was a warning for Malkus, hence there's the option for Malkus, because there was a warning for death. How do we know there's a warning for death? Because we're saying that you hold on to this guy until we find out if the guy gets healed or not. Meaning if he dies, then what do you do to him? Obviously you kill him. Now that could only be if he was warned. On that thing we're saying, no, who said it's about killing him? Maybe there was no warning. And it's about b'shoigig. And the reason why we're holding on to him to see if the guy who we heard is going to die is because then we're going to mandate for him to go into galus. Now, but there's no warning. Now, if the guy doesn't die, then he has to pay. But that's only because there's no Malkus, because there's no warning. But if there was a warning, then maybe we would say, Loikev ein mishalim, and therefore that refutes the proof of Rav Yaakov and Apakoid. I think one says Kasha. Obviously, that's a difficulty, according to Rava, who said that the Pasuk Toma b'mezid to prove that there's Asra for Dav HaChomer, of Misa, for Dav HaKal, for Malkus, and still say, Mishalim ein Loikev, maybe it's Toma b'shoigig, and there is no Hasra whatsoever. Now the Gemara returns and Rish Lakish addresses the original contradiction from the previous daf that we had asked from our Mishnah to the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos. That the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos says that if someone's Baal HaChaisai, that he gets lashes, yet our Mishnah said in Masechtas Ksubis that he pays the penalty of a Ma'anis, which is 50 silver coins. So we said that how does that work? You can't be Leiku Mishalom. So how does the Mishnah there says that you get tashlumen, that you get lashes? Now Mishnah says you do the tashlumen. Which one is it? Is it loika or is it mishal? So the Gemara had originally brought two different interpretations, that of Ula and that of Rabbi Yechanan, which again they argued on if you get Malkus and not tashlumen, or you get tashlumen and not Malkus. Shlokar Shama, he says a third resolution of this contradiction. He says, Hamani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, which says that if someone's Baal HaChaisai gives a Knas? Actually, he's both of them. It's Remeirhi. In other words, Dama that he says, as we quoted on Daf Lamed Beis Mabeis, Leike U Mishalim. Meaning, Ula had said, one way. And Rabbi Yochanan said the other way of that you'll either get one or the other. You can't get both. You get either Malkus or Tashlumin. And they worked it out. On that, Rish Lakish says, he says, no, it's not a contradiction, because actually the Tanna of our Mishnah is Remei that says that you get both, and both Mishnahs are talking about different things. That's Masechtas Malkus, which is addressing the Malkus element. And now Mishnah is talking about Masechtas Ksubis, which talks about the idea of Ma'anis and regarding Besulim, and therefore we're not addressing that at all. And as the Gemara had brought in the previous daf, that Remei says, Shaloh Hashem HaMavil De Malkus Mavil De Tashlumin. He says that regarding Edom Zaymin, and actually the same halacha would apply for our context of our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechtas Malkus of Oinus, where the lashes is coming from one pasuk. For example, regarding the Baal HaChaisai, that's where it says in the Torah that a person's not allowed to have be with Ervas HaChaisai. Now that's one pasuk. That's the Mishnah Masechtas Malkus. Our Mishnah that says that there's going to be a Knas of Chamishim Kesef is a different pasuk. That just says that someone's Ma'anis, he gets Tashlumen, so they're coming from two different sources. So a mayor could hold that you like U Mishalim, so it's not a contradiction. You actually get both. You get the lashes, and you have to give the Tashlumen. Now, that the Gemara asks on Rish Lakish, Ere Meir, if the town of a Mishnah is like a mayor, there was not a contradiction, you actually get both. Well, then Afila Bitoy Nami, then even when someone's Ba on his daughter, where he gets killed for that, that he should have to pay the knas of Chamishim Kesef. And the reason is because, as we just pointed out, obviously Reb Meir does not hold of the Psur of Kimle B'dirabi Minei. And that is because, as he explained, if they learned from two different psukim, which a bitay of the Erva, which is the Chi of Misa, that's learned from one pasuk. And the Tashlumen of the Ma'anis, if let's say he rapes his daughter, he violates her, well, that's learned from a different pasuk, where they're two different things. So then the question is, why does the coming Mishnah say Habal Bitoy is Patim in a Knas? Why would it be exempt from the Knas? Remeir's logic is like Mishalim, seemingly should be the same thing for Misa Mishalim. It's the same idea. He says he learned it from two different Pesukim. So the Misa of the courts of Bitoy is learned from one Pasuk, and the Teshlum of the Ma'an is learned from a different Pasuk. So if he's a Tana of our Mishnah, thereby resolving the contradiction of Mishnah Masechtas Malkus, so then the question then becomes, the next Mishnah, if he's the Tana of these Mishnayos, should say that one is Chayav in the Knas, even by Bita. Yet the Mishnah there says clearly that he's Potter. Now the Gemara says, and if you're going to say Remeir Leiku Mishal Mislei, that, oh, Remeir only holds that you get lashes and you pay, which would apply for, let's say, Chayav of Karis, where there's no Misa Bidei Adam, meaning through Bezdin, there's only what Bezdin could give is lashes, so then you could get both, and that's what both our Mishnayos are saying, but Mesa Misham Leslay, but it doesn't hold that you can get killed, like one gets in courts for his daughter, and to pay the payment, that's the Gemara, is that really true, that you don't get both? But Vatanya learned the Brice that says, Ganav V'tabach B'Shabbos, if somebody steals and slaughters an animal on Shabbos, where besides the halacha of Ganav V'tavach, which is a pasuk in the Torah regarding a certain penalty of paying four or five times of the worth of the value of what you stole. But moreover, if you're slaughtering on Shabbos, there's a Chiyuv Misa, because it's one of the Lamatas Malachas of slaughtering on Shabbos. And similarly, the same idea is by Ganav V'tavach L'Avodas Kechavim. If someone stole an animal, then he slaughtered it for idol worship, which also has, besides the monetary punishment of paying four or five times the value of the sheep that was stolen, there's also when you're slaughtering it, you're also committing an offense that has a punishment of death because you're doing idol worship. Or let's say, Ganav Shor HaNiskal U'Tefachei. If someone stole a Shor HaNiskal, which is an ox that gored three times and it's supposed to be stoned, that if someone steals that Shor HaNiskal and he slaughters it, where the Gemara later on is going to ask, where's the monetary value of that Shor HaNiskal? It's anyways going to be stoned that has no monetary value. But the Gemara will address that. Now, either one of these three cases, Mishalim Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha Devei Meir. Meir says that you pay, which that's a parash in the Torah, which is if somebody, as the Torah says in Shema Yisrael Lamed Zayin, if someone steals an ox or a sheep and he slaughters it or he sells it, then he has to pay five times the amount of the bakar, and he has to pay five times the amount of the flock. Now, on that, Meir says that you will pay. But Chacham paid and Chacham say that, no, you'll be exempt. Now, the reason for the Chacham why you're exempt is because you can't get Misa, which you're getting if you slaughter on Shabbos, which is what's the same moment is happening, the Dalad Vehei, for the slaughtering, something that you stole, that you pay four or five times the amount, is the same thing, the same act that's making you get the death penalty. Same thing for Avodah Zarah. Now, Rav Meir holds that no, that you will pay, and the reason is because they're coming from two different sources. The payment is coming because of the pasuk in Shmos Chavav Lamed Zayin. The death penalty is coming for a different reason, for Chil Shabbos, because of Avodah Zarah. So you see that Rav Meir holds that you are Mason B'Shalom. So then we're back to the question. According to Rosh Lakish, that he's saying that our Mishnah, which is not a contradiction to the Mishnah Masechta Makas, because you're like a Mishalem, so then why does the coming Mishnah say Babita that you're Pater from the Knaz, if you should say, as Rav Meir clearly says, that you're even Mason Mishalem? And that the Gemara answers, that's not a difficulty, that question. Because Ha'idma Allah, we actually had learned regarding this Brisa that we're asking from, that Amr B'Yakov, Amr B'Yechanan, V'Amrlan, some say it was actually Amr B'Yirmiyah, Amr B'Shem Malakish, that they said over that Reb Avin Rebbe Law and V'chol Chav V'Rasa and the whole assembly said it Mishmid Rebbe Yechon Army, that they said B'Toyvech Alidei Acher. That halacha that Reb Meir was saying that you're going to pay Dalad V'Hei in that case of when it was slaughtered on Shabbos is told by that it was slaughtered through somebody else. In other words, the thief commanded to his messenger to slaughter it, and the guy slaughtered it either on Shabbos or for Avodah Zarah, where you're not having Mason Mishalom. Because the one who's paying for it, which is the one who told him, the thief, who told his messenger, he's not getting killed because he didn't slaughter on Shabbos by the Zara. That the Shliach will get. But he has to pay the Dalad Vehei. And therefore, there's no Raya to Mason Mishalom. And therefore, the Tana of our Mishnayas could be like Rameir. Because you're like a Mishalom, but not Mason Mishalom. Now, that the Gemara asks, V'chizeh, can you really have such a case where you have this guy, the Shliach, the messenger, he's being Chayte, he's doing this sin, he's actually doing two sins. He's doing Chilul Shabbos or Avodah Zarah, and he's also doing the sin of slaughtering someone else's sheep that was stolen. V'zeh, and the Shaleach, the one who's telling him what to do, is Meschayev, that he'll be liable for the Knas of Dal V'hei. In other words, you're saying the case is talking about when he didn't do it himself. So he's not Mace, but he will have to pay for the Dal V'hei. But that the Gemara asks, but we learn Meschach's condition of Membez and Membez, that ain't Shlich L'dva Avera. There's a sin that's going on there. Besides Chilul Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, what Meshaleach is going to be liable for is that he's telling this guy to slaughter that other person's sheep or ox that he stole. Now that's not Avera. You cannot have a Shliach, which is that to make like Shliach Shalom Kemoisa, to make the person that who's sending him liable, when it's a Dva Avera, we don't say Shliach Dva Avera. So how could we say that that's the case talking about of your mayor, that's only when there's Aldei Acher? If it's Aldei Acher, so then he shouldn't even be liable for the Dal Vehei. Sotigmar gives three different interpretations of why over here, which is obviously unique, that we would say the Shaleach is going to be liable for Dal Vehei. Amarava, he says, Amrachman, the Torah says in Shemais, which recorded this passage before on Chafav Lamed Zayin, it says, Ki ignoiv ish, that if a man will steal, shayr oiseh, an ox or a sheep, utvachay oimachare, and he will slaughter it or sell it. So those are the two different options where, as the pasuk says, it's recorded that chamisha baki yishalom tachas asher v'arbet zayin tachas aser. You're going to have to pay four or five times depending on what type of animal was stolen. So two ways is even if you slaughtered that stolen sheep or if you sold it. So that Rava says that the pasuk is comparing those two different types of violations. And that is ma mechir al dei acher, just like selling is through someone else. And obviously, selling has to be through someone else because someone else has to be purchasing it from you. So the only way you could do that sin is through someone else. Aftavich al dei acher. So too, slaughtering is also through someone else. And therefore, that's the chiddush that the Torah is saying, that the Meshaleach will be chayev. And therefore, that's the source. So you're right. Although generally, in Shlichat Va'avera, here clearly the pasuk is telling you that Tvicha is like Mechira, which is through someone else. Here also through someone else, you will be, as the pasuk says, you'll be liable for Dal Vehei. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, and the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they learned that Braisa, a different source, it says, Utvachai Oy Machare. Now what's the Oy? A lot of times it can be either or, even without saying or. So the Oy is L'Rabbis L'Shleich, the or is coming to include Shleich, the superfluous term, is saying that not only if you do it, but even if your messenger does it. The Becheski Tana and the Yeshiva of Cheski, they taught a Braisa, that a third source, that it says in the Pasuk Tachas, which is that it says in the Pasuk that you're going to pay the five times the amount, Tachas Asher, in place of the ox which was stolen and then either slaughtered or sold. Now, it could have said Yishalim Bishar, that will be paid for the ox. So why say the term Tachas? L'Rabba Sashliach, that again is a superfluous term to come to include a Shliach. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, on what we had said before, Maskev L'Mazurcha. He asks, Mia Kamidi, is it really possible that there should be such a thing? The ilo avir ihuloy mechayiv. Now, had the guy himself who stole it, had he done the slaughtering or the selling? So, regarding the case of the slaughtering, let's say on Shabbos or for idol worship, had he done it, he would not have been liable for dalvei. And the reason is because he would have been killed. The avir shliach mechayiv. Now, his messenger does it, and he's going to be chayiv. In other words, generally you say that a messenger can't be stronger than the one who's sending him. Now, if the one who's doing it, meaning if the one who's sending him, had he done it, he would not have been liable for the dal vehe, because had he done it, he would have been liable for death. And if he's getting death, so he's not going to be liable for the monetary punishment. So how can you have it when he's having someone else do it for him, which is all based on the principle of shlich shlam kamaisai, so that it's like he himself did it, but if he himself did it, he himself would not have been chayiv. So how could his shliach go ahead and make him be chayiv for something that he himself would not have been chayiv for? So I think my answer is no. If he had done it, it's not that because he would not have been liable for the monetary punishment of dal vehei, because actually the monetary penalty is would have been made him liable. It's only because of that you get the greater of the two punishments. But of course, Shlich Shlam Kamaisai says that what he's doing is as if you had done it. And therefore, the Dal Vehei that he's working for you, that the person himself is going to get that. Now, if he had done it himself, there just would have been an added variable, which is nothing relevant to this actual Shlichus, which would have been that he would have been committing another sin of Chil Shabbos or Avodah Zarah, which then, because of, we could only give one of the two, he would have given the greater one. But of course, there is that liability which is being had through his shliach. And when he doesn't do it, and that guy's going to die for the Chil Shabbos or the Avodah Zarah, but the fact that he's his messenger, Shlich Shlam Kamaisai, in this context of one of the three sources we brought, would tell us that it's as if he himself did it, and therefore he will be liable for the Dal Vehei in those cases. And therefore, that's the interpretation of the Braiso, which we brought down in Remeir, that's not talking about a case of Mesu Meshalim, because it was done on De Acher. And therefore, Rish Lakish is correct in his resolution of the contradiction of our Mishnah, Mishnah Mesachtas Makis, where he doesn't have to say like Ula Ola Rabbi Yechanan, that it's either or. Rather, you actually could have Leika U'Mishalim, and therefore our Mishnah Tumat Teshlumin, and the Mishnah Mesachtas Makis Tumat the Malkis, and the coming Mishnah that tells us that if he's a Baal Bitoi, that you're not Chayim Niknas, is because he holds only that you're Leika Mishalim, but that you're not Mesu Mishalim. And that other case of the Braisa, as we said, is not Mesu Mishalim because it was done Al De Achar, where since he's not getting Misa the Meshaleach, he could have the penalty of Teshlumen of Dal Vehei.